Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. Now, the proper last gospel today is taken from the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. And I would like to read that gospel to you now. So please stand for a reading of the Holy Gospel. So I say, this is taken from the Feast of the Guardian Angels, which is the proper last gospel at the end of Mass today. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who thinkest thou is the greater in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus, calling unto him a little child, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, he is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. And he that shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be drowned into the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals! For it must needs be that scandals come, but nevertheless woe to that man by whom the scandal cometh. And if thy hand or thy foot scandalize thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to go into life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet, to be cast henceforth into everlasting fire. And if thy eye scandalize thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee, having one eye, to enter into life than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. See that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Thus far the words of this holy gospel. See that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father. These words are taken, as I said, from the Gospel for the Feast of the Guardian Angels, which is the proper last gospel at Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, one of the greatest blessings and consolations that God has given to each one of us is our very own guardian angel. But it is a gift and a consolation that all too often we do not consider or appreciate. It is the common teaching of many of the fathers of the church and theologians that every human being, including the unbaptized, has his own special guardian angel. In fact, St. Jerome says of this, "How great must be the value of the soul that every single person has from birth received an angel for his protection." All men thus have their own angel appointed by God to watch over them. And each year on October the 2nd, the church especially honors the guardian angels. Almighty God, in his infinite goodness and mercy, has given each one of us here today our very own angel. And the heavenly tasks of this angel who is always beside us is to inspire us to pray, is to inspire us to think good and holy thoughts and to do good works. And by that I mean to practice virtue. It is the heavenly task of our angel to offer our prayers and our good works to God, to protect us from danger of both soul and body, but especially the dangers to the soul. It is his task to stand by our side at the hour of our death and there to comfort and assist us in our last agony. And finally, after death, our guardian angel is to conduct us to the judgment, and from there, please God, to heaven. Or, if need be, to purgatory, where our angel will often come to see us in order to console us until our purification is complete. But there are times when our guardian angels will deliver us from bodily harm. However, my dear friends, the protection of our guardian angel is chiefly to protect our souls and thus to preserve us from spiritual and eternal ruin. And thus did our Lord declare in this gospel that we read for the Feast of the Guardian Angels, "See that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father." The meaning of these words and the message of this gospel is this: do not give scandal or cause spiritual harm to little children, since by doing so, you are leading them into sin and thus causing them to offend God. And thereby, you are undoing the work of their guardian angel, who is ever seeking to inspire them to love God, to keep his commandments, and to do good works so that they will save their souls. Now, by little children, our Lord literally meant children. He meant this because he had set in the midst of the apostles and others a small child, telling them that they had to become like an innocent child to enter into heaven. But by little children, he also meant anyone who believes in him. For he said, "Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." How serious, my dear friends, does our divine Savior take the giving of scandal and the doing of grave spiritual harm to others? So serious that he holds accountable those who give scandal and are an occasion of another's spiritual ruin. St. Thomas Aquinas thus called scandal the cause or the occasion of another's spiritual ruin. Now, certain theologians define scandal as any word, deed, or omission which can or does cause another to commit sin. Any word, deed, or omission which can or does cause another to commit sin. Scandal, then, can be given by cursing, swearing, blaspheming the name of God. Scandal can be given by using filthy language, so prevalent in our world today. Scandal is given by speaking about impure things, or by telling impure jokes, or by telling stories suggestive of sensuality and impurity. Scandal is giving by showing others suggestive, immodest, impure pictures, movies, or literature. Scandal is given by wearing low-cut and revealing clothing by both men and women, but especially by women. Again, something so common today and so destructive to morality and to the salvation of souls. Thus did our Lord say, "Woe to the world because of scandals, and woe to that man who gives scandal." Scandal can be given by omission, such as the scandal that can be given by parents who, without sufficient reason, omit to bring their children to Sunday Mass or holy days, or allow and permit immodest, impure, suggestive television or entertainment in their homes. In short, scandal can be given to anyone and by almost anyone. And thus, parents can scandalize their children. Children can scandalize their parents by provoking them to anger and sadness. Priests can scandalize people. Something which has been ongoing, especially since Vatican II. But how often today is scandal given in private homes? How often is scandal today given in public places, such as airports, restaurants, schools, colleges, universities, churches, the workplace? You know, over this past year, I have seen reported on various news sites, schools, libraries, even certain eating establishments. Recently, it was a school in Charleston, South Carolina, bringing in the most degenerate and monstrous of persons, whose purpose is to introduce perversion and vice to people, but especially to little children, as if this were normal. What a scandal this is. And how, I asked myself, is it possible that seemingly decent parents would approve of their children, in most cases 5, 6, or 7 year olds, to be handled, let alone spoken to, by these reprobate and degenerate people? What a moral insanity this is. In their pride and arrogance, though, these people given to perversion and vice, and those who readily approve and promote it, they act as if they're going to get away with this. They act as if there will be no consequences for their grave scandal of perverting innocent little children. How blind and foolish they truly are. As St. Paul said in his epistle to the Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And into the hands of the living God they will most certainly fall, unless they sincerely repent now of their grave scandal and the horrific harm they have done. Otherwise, it would truly be better for them, as our Lord Himself said, if a millstone were tied about their necks and they were cast into the sea and drowned. But my dear people, anyone who should give grave scandal to others and does not repent, it were better for them that a millstone be tied about their neck and they be cast into the sea and drowned. How then, my dear people, how we must ever strive to be careful so as not to give grave scandal to others. Even as we strive to protect ourselves, and especially our children, as much as we possibly can from the scandals and the evils which surround us today, the impurity and the vice so promoted practically every facet of life. Television commercials promoting impurity and unnatural vice now. Television programs, websites, movies, music, books, cartoons for children promoting vice. And in the classroom, at every level of education now, from the primary, secondary schools, all the way up to the universities, they are pushing this like they've never pushed before. And how many people I have even personally met in my travels who seem to have lost all sense of dignity, respect, and morality. And if I may add as well, common sense. How we must strive to protect ourselves and our families, ever confident that our good Jesus is ever mindful of the efforts that we make to love Him and to be faithful to Him. May we then do our part to truly live good Catholic lives. May we faithfully pray the rosary every day to obtain the Lady's protection for ourselves and for mercy for our nation. And may we all be more grateful and mindful of the presence of our good angel, who is always at our side. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.